Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
You know, yesterday I unveiled the brand new Instagram page for my bunny Oreo, and there's like 1.5 million followers already. It's
wow,
unbelievable.
That's impressive.
This is really rivaling.
It's better than Red Note.
Yeah, well, it's rivaling some of the supermodels out there at this point, Oreo is. And you can always follow at Oreo Smorio the Bunny. Oreo Smorio the Bunny, that was the handle that I came up with. But we did get a lot of followers. I mean, just a little shy of 1.5 million. But still, we're approaching that number. And I did put, these bunnies do this thing called Binky. I've showed you guys this. When they're super happy, they fly into the air. They shake their butt and their tails and their ears. And I caught a slow-mo video this week that I put on the page. It's the latest post that I have. And it really is. It's pretty fun to watch. That's one of the reasons I created the page. Okay, we have a lot of stuff coming up. We've had a pretty significant day when it comes to people that we know. I'm waiting for the trifecta to be filled, unfortunately. David Lynch, the legendary director, has passed away. Bob Uecker, the amazing broadcaster at the Milwaukee Brewers and had been for a long time, played for the Cardinals. Comic legend also. Movie star, you name it. He passed away at the age of 90. My friend Bill Michaels will take a look back. Bill's up in Wisconsin. We worked together at WTMJ with Bob a long time ago. Jessica Kostescu is did I say her name right?
Kostescu.
Kostescu. Okay, so I have to say it like Bob Costas.
Right.
Kostescu. Thank you, Fred. She's with the Free Beacon. I was challenged with her name last week. Jessica's covering the CNN trial that I was talking about. This is good news. Brian Kilmeade's going to join us in the next hour. We'll talk about this.
Everyone, Brian Kilmeade here with a great announcement, especially everybody here at KFTK, St. Louis. I'm coming to you March 22nd at the Factory on stage. You're going to love this unscripted affair. It's going to be patriotic, inspirational, motivational. I'll go through all my books, give you the anecdotes inside Fox. We'll go over the news, the war on history, and the comeback of this guy, Donald Trump. Mark Reardon's going to join me on stage. Maybe some surprises in the lineup. But most of all, I want to see you. BrianKilmeade.com. Click on tickets. March 22nd at the Factory.
Well, he may have jumped the gun on that a little bit. My agent has not finalized the deal, so we'll see if that, in fact, happens. No, but Brian is awesome. I mentioned this in the last hour. He works so hard. He's very excited about coming back. We'll talk about that with him in the next hour. Have you guys, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I don't know if you've heard, I'm going to Las Vegas.
I can't,
but
Fred.
We usually do entertainment with Paul Hall, and he will be here. And that's when we talk about some of the shows and the streaming shows, et cetera. But Becky and I started The Pit last night. Have you heard of The Pit?
I haven't.
Okay.
No.
This is new. It's on Apple TV Plus. It stars Noah Wiley as Carter. Remember when he was Carter in ER? That's the same character, basically.
Hey, Dave, what's a good word?
52 in the waiting room, and it's not even 7.
Robbie's working the shift, by the way. Got him a little slack today. It's the anniversary of Dr. Adamson's death.
Who left this mess?
I feel like a little challenge every now and then.
It's called The Pit because it's set in Pittsburgh. And there's this beautiful opening sequence where you see the bridges and, you know, the baseball stadium and the football stadium. And that's pretty much all you see. But it's essentially ER moved to Pittsburgh.
Oh, all right.
You know, 30 years later. It's John Wells, the same guy that did ER. It's Noah Wiley, who we really haven't seen on screen too much. I think Noah's had a pretty good run of success on Broadway.
How's he look?
He looks pretty good. Okay. I think he looks good. But the show was frustrating because it's very cliche. It really is the same show as ER. It's just updated for modern times. The storyline has him coming back to work. You might have heard this in the trailer. So he comes back to work. He doesn't usually work this day because it's the anniversary of the death of his mentor. And this show, I'm already detecting woke nonsense because when his mentor died, it was during COVID. So they're flashing back to scenes during COVID.
Oh, no.
Here's the problem. They're showing ER, an emergency room, with people on breathing machines, but 98% of those people were over 80 years old. I'm slightly exaggerating, but of course, they're not going to show the 90-year-old people in there, the 85-year-old people. They're going to show the young people. They're not going to show the obese women and men that died during COVID, because every time we saw a picture in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, it certainly wasn't in someone that was in good shape, and that was a contributing factor. So the show, I think, is going to get pretty woke. It just wasn't that good, and I wanted to like it. I really did.
Well, if it's going to be that way, I don't know if it's going to get much of a following. You might want to watch it now.
But it does, you know, look, from a medical standpoint, I think that they do nail some of the, look, no offense to people out there who are physicians, right? But doctors are weird, and they kind of have to be weird, right? You go to school forever. You have to be really intense.
I don't get a lot of sleep.
I have friends that are physicians. They're just built in different ways, and they should be. It's not a criticism. So the nuances of doctors and nurses, the relationship that they have, sometimes it's filled with tension. I think there are things in the show that actually kind of drew me in and were compelling, and I like Noah Wiley and some of the other cast, but it just became so cliche. Like, essentially, you know, and this is what ER did. Patient comes in. What's wrong with the patient? We got to diagnose the patient. And then, what does the patient have behind the scenes that we can reveal? And I was just, you know, watching the show last night. I told Becky, I know what that is. And I nailed like two of the different circumstances because it was pretty obvious.
Well, and plus you say it's ER revisited. So,
it is.
Yeah.
But you can do that. You just have it's a modern day ER where there's politics at play too, because there's a little preachy stuff on healthcare and the healthcare system and all this. He's got a boss that, you know, he's not crazy about and they don't like. I don't know. Well, I'll probably still watch it because we started. There's only two episodes out. It's called The Pit. We'll see. Ask Jane tomorrow, okay?
I was gonna say, if it's bad, why waste your time?
Well, let me just check this. I'm an outlier on these things, so you have to remember that. Sometimes I don't like things that everybody else seems to like. Let's go to Rotten Tomatoes, and let's just see where the consensus would be on The Pit, you know, because that's a good gauge, because Rotten Tomatoes not only has the scores from the critics, but also the audience. All right, let's see here. The Pit.
Did they do that for TV shows?
They do it for everything. Next episode, next Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Let's see.
Can they do it for us?
Yeah, see, look at this. This here again. 92% for the critics. 92%. That's a high number. 91%. That might be the more important number, the popcorn meter. So most people have liked it.
All right.
I didn't think it sucked. I just think it needs to do better. That's all. We'll see if it takes us there. Oh, that's not the right one. See what happens? The host is off his marker here today. Good thing I'm taking tomorrow and Monday off.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
I kind of was amused today to realize it's National Nothing Day. A day we can sit around and not honor anything. And then I read further, and it's National Fig Newton Day. So what the heck? Did they just come in under the wire and say, all right, well, we're going to do that too?
Did you go through a period in your life, because I did, where I started eating Fig Newtons because I thought that they were a healthier alternative, right? And I don't really think they were ever a healthier alternative.
No.
And they didn't really taste that good, but no. I was convincing myself that if I would eat Fig Newtons, they were better for me.
I understand that. I never liked a Fig Newton. Now in my older age, I like a fig. I'll eat a fig. But I'd like it wrapped in prosciutto. Fred?
I've never had a Fig Newton. I just inherently knew I hated it.
Oh, well. Fred is a man of, he likes what he likes.
He makes his
narrow
decisions.
Lanes,
yes,
right. I have narrow lanes.
Well, they did make them. Weren't there a couple of different flavors, too?
Oh,
the standard Fig Newton is just blah. But then they put a different Fig Newton where it tasted like, I'm just remembering like a raspberry or.
Oh, they stuffed it with raspberry?
I don't know. It could be my mind playing tricks on me. I just know that the standard Fig Newton, not my thing.
I'm going to have to look that up, because a raspberry Newton is a whole different deal. All right, on this day in history, Mark, we do have music, but I think it might be a cold open, maybe. Can you see anything?
Does it say Sue's News?
Maybe, does it say George Harrison?
I don't know.
37 years ago today. Are you still looking?
I can't find it.
All right, hang on. It's Ethan to the rescue. At this day in history, 37 years ago in 1988, George Harrison's Got My Mind Set on You hit number one.
Use that for a bump today, but I had not known that.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I remember this song being played a lot, but I don't think I knew that it went to number one. I can live without it.
Oh, really?
I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's one of my favorites, but it was a big hit at the time.
Yeah, it was a huge deal.
I do have some information about Fig Newtons.
Okay, bring it.
Okay. Originally, Fig Newtons only came in one flavor.
Yeah.
The classic fig filling. I feel like doing this to George Harrison is very appropriate, too.
Okay.
But in recent years, Sue, Nabisco has expanded to offer different fruit fillings like strawberry, raspberry, apple cinnamon, blueberry, and cherry, making them available in multiple flavors. So that was not my mind playing a trick on me. I do remember some of that.
Interesting.
I think they taste a little bit better than the regular figs.
Because it has no fig?
Exactly.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Might be it.
The latest on celebrities and the L.A. wildfires, Leonardo DiCaprio giving $1 million, the Eagles, not the NFL team, the band, donating $2.5 million to the upcoming Fire Aid benefit concert. No word if they'll be performing, but I thought this part was actually interesting. YouTube and Google are pitching in $15 million.
Well,
a lot of money going out there, and State Farm has canceled its planned Super Bowl ad. Not surprising there either.
Yeah, that's probably a good move. There was a really interesting story that was in the LA Times this morning about, and you're going to have more and more stories that emerge about this. They featured some of the movie and TV locations that have been destroyed, like the high school in Palisades. That was something that was used in a lot of different movies. There is a museum that they use quite a bit of in Altadena called the Altadena Mansion. So that's something that's not there. And they kind of went down the list of things that you probably have seen in movies, even along Malibu, that will no longer be there.
Oh, that stinks. This is an odd story. Okay, Nottingham College in England is offering classes on how to make phone calls. The main focuses are phone etiquette and phone confidence. Homework includes calling restaurants to ask what time they close instead of Googling it. It's, of course, for the kids. They have to call stores and ask if something's in stock. Now, to be fair, college in England is different, and some kids are only 16, but they are really uncomfortable making phone calls, so they thought they needed to have a class on how to do it.
You know, as weird as that sounds to many of us,
yes.
I get it.
Yes.
I do.
Because you just text all the time, and you don't really talk to anybody. They call it telephobia.
Yeah.
And they did a BB story about a class mentioned in a poll last year that found 70% of people under 35 way prefer texting. 23% they never answer their phone. So go figure. So they actually are having classes on it now. I guess that would help. All right. And this one is turlet related, Fred. It's for you.
Great.
Japan is now selling. I don't know how I feel about this. A new type of eco-friendly turlet paper made from used diapers. Huh?
Ooh.
Anyone?
Used diapers.
Yeah. Two towns started separating them out from their trash last year, collected about 100 tons. They bleach and sanitize the diapers, then they shred them so they could be reused. They say, oh, it's good for the planet. They're cheap. A dozen rolls cost less than $3.
Okay, now I'm in.
What?
Seriously.
I mean, but you know what? I did buy toilet paper the other day. It's outrageous.
It is outrageous. I bought paper towels yesterday. The same thing.
Oh, Fred, do you buy the paper towels and toilet paper?
Wait,
yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, yeah.
You're responsible for that part?
I do all the shopping.
Okay, yeah. That's right. I forgot
as
about that.
As much as I can.
And are you offended by it?
Yeah.
I can't use the cheap stuff, though. That stuff is terrible.
It is terrible. That's the problem.
That's how they get you.
You try to save money on the generic stuff, and then it just sucks, too.
Ugh. Right? Now, we don't have any Cinemark theaters in this area, but I thought I'd ask what you think of this, because on Sunday, which happens to be National Popcorn Day. These theaters are doing a bring-your-own-bucket promotion. You could bring any container you want as long as it's, quote, clean and sanitized and can hold popcorn. They'll fill it for just $5. They say if it's not safe to use, they can always say, no, get out. But here's the catch, because there always is one. Your bucket cannot be more than 400 ounces, which is about 3 gallons.
That makes sense, because
right.
I know
that people would abuse that.
Someone would drag like an old bathtub in or something like that and say, fill it with popcorn.
Yes. I would totally do that. I think that's a really good promotional idea.
I think Sue and I would both agree, maybe Fred as well, though what we would like to do first and foremost is take that bin to the High Point Theater and get their popcorn and then go to maybe another theater. Right.
Okay, it worked again. All right. And finally in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. This blew my mind. Okay, this movie came out in 1987. Three Men and a Baby. Do you know who it was directed by?
Oh, I do know who this was directed by. Darn it. Wait, I can't think of it, though.
Okay, Fred, you know?
No, I don't.
Was it Penny Marshall?
No, Leonard Nimoy.
Ooh.
Leonard Nimoy directed Three Men and a Baby in the 80s. That freaked me out.
That makes my brain hurt. I don't know that I did know that.
All right, and that's it for Susan.
And how did the rest of Leonard Nimoy's directing career go, right?
Has he done anything else? I thought maybe Fred would know because
of
Star Trek.
Three Men and a Vulcan, I might have known.
Wait, I got to This is crazy because, Sue, I don't know that I did know that.
Three
Men and a Baby, 1987. It was Tom Selleck. Steve Guttenberg, by the way.
Yes.
That's like the second Steve Guttenberg reference in the last week, and we haven't had a Steve Guttenberg. Well, I've been in radio for a long time. I think I've only had one Steve Guttenberg reference in my entire career, but now he's back in the news. Ted Danson was in that. Let's see here.
Yeah, he was. There it
Director
is.
Director Leonard Nimoy.
Unbelievable.
And I want to look at all filmography. Let's see what it says here. Director. We got to go. I'm on IMDb.
He did a Star Trek movie.
Night Gallery TV show in 1973. He did a TV movie called Vincent. He did The Power of Matthew Starr, a TV series. He directed an episode of T.J. Hooker. He did Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. He did Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. He did Three Men and a Baby, and then he did The Good Mother, Body Wars, Funny About Love, and some movies I've never heard of. It doesn't look like he had directed anything after about 1995.
Isn't that crazy, though?
Yeah.
That's good trivia.
That is good trivia. Thank you, Sue. We always appreciate that. We have this other new social media platform. We need another, right? Just like a new streaming platform. That TikTok refugees, there's a new term, have fled to. George Rosenthal from Throttle, that's going to brief us next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I've never done TikTok. I have a policy in my home with my wife that I'm only shown one TikTok a day. Maybe I don't even have to go through that here in the future. I know it's popular. A lot of people love it. But there's refugees now because maybe TikTok is going away. So now we got a new app.
A lot of the TikTok users are fleeing because they see what's going to happen. They're going to places like Red Book, Red Note, which, oh, by the way, is named for Mao's little red book. There's a lot going on here and a lot of layers. I think we have to worry about what China's going to do and what kind of information we're going to be giving to China.
What in the world? Yeah, there's a new app. It's called Red Note. It's owned by China. George Rosenthal back with us, always one of our go-to experts on topics like this with ThrottleNet at ThrottleNet.com. George, how are you? Happy New Year. I feel like we can still say that, right?
Absolutely. We're good till probably about another week.
That's what Sue and I have kind of decided. You know what I did, though, today? I haven't mentioned this on the show. I finally made the call. It's very sad because I love Christmas and I love Christmas decorations, but I pulled the plugs on the lights. Finally pulled the plugs. No lights tonight for the first time since November. So I'm kind of sad about that. But tell me about Red Note. And the other thing about it is, well, let's start with TikTok. Is that going to go away, you think? Is that really where the writing is?
Well, I mean, they've got 3 days to figure out some sort of purchase deal. If a purchase deal starts to be in the works, they can extend it out to 100 days. It can be extended to 90 pretty easily by either Biden or even incoming President Trump. But according to an analyst at Wedbush, Dan Ives is estimating that TikTok is worth about $100 million plus. That's with the algorithm. And ByteDance, who owns TikTok, is saying they will not sell the algorithm with the app. So if that's the case and they don't sell the algorithm, which is the whole backbone brains behind the whole thing, then the company's worth about $40 to $50 billion, which is still insanely valuable. But that's what they're dealing with right now is, can you buy the company without getting the algorithm?
And then, you know, one of the potential purchasers, is Elon in the mix for this or not? Is he going to own the whole world?
So I don't know that right now that's kind of a rumor. I mean, obviously there would be some competing forces there when you have two social media platforms. I'm sure there would be something discussion about that. Kevin O'Leary, the billionaire from Shark Tank, he's putting together a group right now. They've already have an offer on the table. We'll see if that goes through or not. But the funny thing is every time it's literally like playing whack-a-mole. You know, one mole pops out of the hole, you smack it, and another one pops up. And now, you know, number one app, free app on the Apple App Store is this new Chinese application called Red Note. And when you look at it on the App Store, it's all in Mandarin Chinese, even the name, the description, all of it. So it's just this red icon that pops up on your App Store. But it's red. It's actually called Red Note. And the Mandarin Chinese word for it actually means little red book, which I don't know how much more communist marketing branding you can you can get. I mean,
well, at least they're being honest, right? I guess you can say that.
Yeah, they're straight up honest with you. I mean, they have as of last month, they have 300 million users. They just added around 700,000 as this deadline has approached. And they're doing the similar things to TikTok. It's a little different in that they still do short videos and images, and people can create their accounts and posts and everything. But the main crux of this is buying products. So it's primarily in China. Most of their user base is in China. It's a very high majority of female users. And it's based around fashion and travel and lifestyle. And in the end, they want to get you to this e-commerce portion of it to make a purchase.
You mentioned
a little different.
George Rosenthal is here from ThrottleNet. You mentioned Kevin O'Leary.
Any adversary that creates an app that basically uses Americans' personal data in an adversarial fashion, not just TikTok. This is not the TikTok act. It's anybody that does this, like a Lemon 8, which is now pulling at users off, which
Who
is owned
owns
by
that?
ByteDance, and another one called Redbook, which is actually a different Chinese company. They're basically pulling users onto those platforms, 300,000 a minute. And so they're not going to escape this order.
Wow. Well, one of the things that's weird to me is, like, let's say you are fleeing TikTok and you're going to Red Note or whatever. How are you still going to get the same experience with the people that you're following? These are people, many of whom have hundreds of thousands, maybe more than a million followers. I know there's crossover. People have platforms on Twitter, X, whatever, Instagram, Facebook, etc. But it's never made sense that these things can take off in an organic way, that the way they all did at first, George. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense, and you're correct. That's why this is such a tough thing. Look, on one side of the coin, you've got a communist country that is an enemy of the state, collecting more data than you can possibly understand, from text messages on your phones, web searches on independent browsers. It knows your GPS location. It knows everything about what's on your phone. It can look at your pictures, your contacts, everything. And that's a bummer, and you know that's terrible for our national security. The flip side of the coin, though, is like you said, all these users who have spent years building a following on TikTok, and some of which are making millions of dollars a year in revenue. This is their business. This is their livelihood. So it's a very tough thing to say, let's just cut it all. But look, even if they all move over to Red Book or whatever else comes up, from the Chinese government, they still have to start over and rebuild this community.
Right.
So there are going to be a lot of people on one side that are going to hurt from this, but the greater good needs to look at what these applications are really collecting about everyone, from our children to everyday users.
What, in your mind, George, what would be the best case scenario right now? Because it really is hard for me to believe that TikTok's just going to go away in this country, that there's probably going to be something that's going to happen here as a compromise or whatever. Do you have sort of something that you see as a compromise position that could possibly be implemented?
Yes, I do see. I think that they're going to have to step in, meaning the Biden administration or Trump administration is going to have to step in and say, all right, look, we've got tens of millions, if not 100 million people in this country that are using TikTok, many of which for their livelihoods. We have to put something in place to make a purchase. So whether ByteDance is going to sell the whole TikTok algorithm and the app or not, but somebody needs to purchase TikTok to run it in this country so the data can stay in this country and be monitored in the proper way with the right security. And that way, all these people who have spent years building their livelihoods on this app can at least keep going. Otherwise, they have to start all over in hopes that they get their following moved over to whatever app they migrate to.
Yeah, it's weird to me. Like, I've not jumped on Truth Social. You know, I don't really do that. Most of the times there's something on Truth Social that Trump says, they all put it on Twitter anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Right, right. Well, one thing to remember here is anything with the Chinese Communist Party is going to be very regulated. To give you an example, if you post on Red Note, this new brand new app, it's blowing up, you know, to replace TikTok supposedly. If you place any content that has to do with this, a topic that disagrees with the Communist Party, meaning anything that's LGBTQ+ content will be banned immediately from Red Note. It says it right there in the terms of agreement. So you have to adhere to any social topic or any topic at all that agrees with the Communist Party in order for it to be on this app. So
like the Biden administration 3 or 4 years ago, doesn't it?
It does. Yes.
You know what? Here's what I don't get, George. Like, why is everything have to be Chinese to begin with? Do we not have some American app that is close to any of this?
Twitter, Jack Dorsey.
Exactly. But, why? Yeah. What is the, well, except they don't do, it's just not the same thing as TikTok. I just find that amazing.
So, yeah, you're exactly correct. The reason being is that TikTok was one of the, if not, well, not the original, but was one of the original video shorts where you could just swipe and swipe and swipe, and next thing you knew, 6 hours have gone by. They were one of the originals, and that's why this really took off. But what's interesting is as people got to know TikTok and you had tens of millions of Americans using it, somebody started reading the terms of agreement and realized that this isn't just an app. It was not just a data collection either. The algorithm is made in this country to feed you exactly what they want. The same app in China has a completely different algorithm, and they limit the amount of content and what content can be shown to their youth.
Oh.
They also limit the amount of hours that their children can stay on that app. We don't do that.
Well, we should do that, right?
Yeah.
It's a complete, so they're using it as propaganda to feed you whatever you want, essentially, then at the same time tracking all this data. So if they ever needed to do some sort of cyber attack, they've got so much information, they could pretty much do anything they wanted with that data in this country.
You said earlier, though, that they're not going to separate the algorithm. So is there a situation where there could be some sort of purchase where the algorithm is still taken over by the new purchaser? Or is that not possible?
Well, if they don't sell the algorithm, then whoever purchases TikTok from ByteDance will come up with their own. But the key here is making sure that get the data is they when they need to purchase the data that ByteDance has and then cut ties from a network, internet sharing, data sharing perspective so that future data stays in this country with an American company that can be looked at and regulated over time and possibly have security measures regulated. But if they're not going to sell, see, that algorithm's worth all the money because that's what's feeding
yes.
every single person this content. And next thing you know, 3 hours of your life have gone by because that algorithm has given you exactly what you're looking for based on everything that you're doing. Not just the swiping. I'm talking about everything you're doing. If you're a subscriber to YouTube TV, they are selling that data of what you watch, when you watch, what's on your DVR. All that's being sold all over the place. So if they can take all this different data that's sold of all your streaming platforms, put that together with all the information that's been collected on your phone, now they have a profile of what's going on in certain parts of the country.
Absolutely.
And that's, wow.
that's what it's about. Yep, absolutely. George, thank you. This is always so educational and informative for us. We appreciate it. I feel like I have a PhD in all this stuff after you explain it. So happy New Year. Hope all is well. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Man, I'm telling you, we learned so much, don't we?
Yeah, we
it's
really
great.
Do.
So we're going to come back here. I got to play one clip here just to preview the next segment because Bob Uecker passed away at the age of 90. You know, he was in the movie Major League, which was just legendary, of course.
On into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four. Ball eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches.
My friend Bill Michaels, who does sports, Bill and I work together with Bob at WTMJ in Milwaukee. He'll reflect coming up here. Well, Bob Uecker passed away at the age of 90. He has been a legendary baseball announcer. He played for the Cardinals, of course, has been calling games for the Brewers for a long time. But he was beyond that. He was on Johnny Carson's show 100 times, did these Miller Lite commercials. You know, Sue, I was thinking about this. I wonder if they have a computation of how much money Bob Uecker made for Miller Brewing Company.
You know, one of the best things about being an ex-big leaguer is getting freebies to the game. Call the front office, bingo. And once these fans recognize me, I probably won't even have to pay for my life here for Miller.
Down the crack!
I love them. These fans know I drink light because it's less filling and it tastes great. Good seats, huh?
You're in the wrong shape, buddy. Come on.
Oh! I must be in the front row.
Yeah, there you go.
Light beer from Miller.
I must be in the front row. They, when Miller Park was opened, which is now some other blah, blah, I don't even know what it is, they had the Uecker seats behind home plate, way up in the upper deck, and they
oh,
were obstructed view, and I think you can get them for like $5 or something like that. My old buddy Bill Michaels, who is known as the Big Unit, he's a big sports personality up in Wisconsin. We worked together with Bob at WTMJ. I thought I'd call him into service again this afternoon to talk a little bit about Mr. Uecker. Bill, how are you this afternoon? Happy New Year.
I am doing good. It's, you could have, obviously put a black cloud over the state of Wisconsin today. It's a very sad day when you lose an icon. I would imagine it's probably the same when, Jack Buck, retired and then passed away. There's icons in the world of sports that broadcast games and specifically the romance of baseball. And when you lose a guy like Bob Uecker, we kind of said today, the soundtrack of your summer and of your youth is now gone. And that chapter in your life is now closed, sadly enough. And that's kind of the way it feels here today.
Very similar to what St. Louis felt with Jack Buck, because there was that connection and Bob was so much Milwaukee. And I've said this, and Bill, you know this, he was just flat out the damn funniest person I've ever been around.
Without a doubt, he could take anything, any moment, any circumstance, and turn it into something. He was that quick-witted. And you don't need to look any further than, we were watching some of the old WWE. Don't forget, he's the only guy that's in Baseball Hall of Fame and the WWE Hall of Fame.
I think I had forgotten
as well.
About that.
Yeah. So when you see him doing WrestleMania and then interviewing Andre the Giant, and Andre the Giant's got his hand on Bob's shoulder. He comes up behind him. He puts his hand on his shoulder. And Bob quickly turns around and says, can you get your foot off my shoulder? Because his hand was so big.
Yeah.
That's how quick a wit he was, And it's just, whether you sat down and you talked to Bob and you had dinner with him and you shared some insights and talked some baseball or just talked about family life, or you had a chance to listen to his broadcast or listen to him when he was, quote, like on, It was just such a pleasure
to talk
to
you. I did the fishing tournament for many years. You did the fishing tournament, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I was on his boat a couple of times and then on other boats, but we always had a great time after the fact.
One of the things I was talking about, I couldn't find audio of this. you remember, Bill, when they were in the American League, and I don't know if you were there at that time, but they would go to, well, no, this would have been the National League. They'd go to Montreal before it was Washington, and he would do like an inning, an entire inning with Jimmy Powell with a Canadian-French accent, and it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. Bob was, he could do so much, and he would, were you by chance still here when he was out in California and they had the furry convention?
I don't think so.
In their hotel?
No.
Oh my God, it was one of the most hilarious things ever in the history of radio, and he was playing very naive and very stupid about furry people, and he was going on and on about it, and kept asking Jim Powell, and Jim Powell couldn't breathe at this point, he's laughing so hard. And then it was like, oh, by the way, you know, strike three on the outside corner, you know. And it was just, it's iconic. It just, because remember, Mark, you know, every year when the programs come out, every team has the face of their franchise, a player, a pitcher, whatever. There's always a player of some type on the cover of the media guide or the team. Bob was, I remember getting a phone call from Rob Butcher, who was the media relations director for Cincinnati at the time. And he called me and said, "What the heck, Bill?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "The cover of your media guide's Bob Uecker." And I said, "Well, that's the only thing we got here because our team sucked at the time. It was so bad." But Bob became such a face that he was the face of the media guide, not a program when you walk through the gate and they're selling the programs, but the media guide for an entire season. That's how big of an icon he was.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, the other thing, you go back to the time, the Brewers in the modern era have been very competitive. But when we were there working together, certainly late 90s, early 2000s, when they crossed over, I was excited, of course, that they would play the Cardinals in the National League. But when the team would get to about August, Bill, I'd say there was nothing on the line. Maybe it was even July.
Right.
But Bob would just tell story. He would segue, especially August into September, and he'd do this in spring training too, in just the legendary storytelling. I don't know how, and Shannon did this too, I don't know how they remembered all those stories, you know, so well, because I can't remember what happened yesterday, but that was the brilliance of Bob Uecker. And we should point out, he was a great baseball announcer. When the time called for him to be dialed in to call the games and to take baseball seriously, there was nobody better. He was among the best.
No, I completely agree with you. And I'll tell you a quick story, a quick Bob story that I've never forgotten. It still makes me laugh to this day. But it was the end of County Stadium, and it was the week before they did the Lights Out soliloquy. And there was a guy, and if you know Bob hated people that embellished on the national anthem. He just wanted you to sing it the way it was written, and in honor of not only the national anthem, but to get it done. He just wanted it done. So there was this guy. It was a Sunday afternoon. It was sunny. It was hot. We're sitting. You remember the old Loge level? Because for those that don't know, the press box was really tiny at County Stadium. So the media had to sit outside in front of the press box on what was like this overhang. It was almost like a little outdoor.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yep.
It was terrible. So I would used to sit right in front of Bob. That's where my seat was. I mean, literally in front of him and Jim Powell. And I'm sitting there with another guy from up here named Chuck Freeman. And this guy starts out, and they introduce him. And there's only about 7,000 people there because nobody gave a crap about Brewers baseball at that point as far as spending your money to go see a terrible team. So this guy starts to sing, and he starts out with, oh, 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 oh. And I'm like, oh, my God, here we go. And I can hear Bob go, oh, like just this groan, right? So this guy finishes up. And this guy's family's there. This guy's dressed to the nines. Like, he just came from church. I mean, his family is there and everything. And Bob leans back in his chair and very loudly yells, "Well, back here in the fifth inning, over to you, Jim," and then leans back and away. So when the family turns around, the only person sitting there is me. They look at me like I'm like what kind of a jerk I am for kind of giving this guy grief for being so long-winded when it comes to the national anthem. So they're kind of looking snidely up at me, and you know, one, I think his dad sent something to me. I don't know what it was, because at this point I'm trying to avoid the whole situation by turning around. So about the third inning, popcorn starts coming in, hitting me in the head and over my shoulder. And there's Bob leaning out because he had already thrown it over to Jim Powell for the third inning. And he leans over and he goes, hey, buddy, Billy. And because he never called anybody, by the regular name. It was always,
Mark, how you doing? Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Buddy,
right.
You know,
exactly.
Right. So he leans over and he goes, "Hey, Billy, Billy." And then he drops one on me and he goes, "Yeah, I effed you there, didn't I?"
And I can hear him doing that. "Hey, buddy, how are you?"
Yeah,
that was it. Well, look,
that
he was
Bob.
And there's some things I could share personally, and I'm sure you can too, that's maybe not appropriate for the radio. I do remember being in that damn booth, though, when he was calling games, and he was excited. Not always had the mic off. I remember one time, Bill, we had a clip of something that shouldn't have got on the air, but he was really good at turning that mic off, and you wouldn't believe what he would say when the mic wasn't on, when the baseball game was going on. I've seen other broadcasters do that, but none as exceptionally well as Bob Uecker. and I think you can also, as a fan, I'm a fan of profanity. He used profanity exceptionally well, not on the broadcast, of course, but in person. He and Norm Stewart, right, I think, are the two people that I'm most fond of when it comes to profanity. But you lost a legend up there. There's no doubt about that.
No, it's a very somber day, to say the very least, here in the state of Wisconsin. And everybody loved him. Everybody loved his stories. And however you loved him, that void is very evident here today, no doubt about it.
Well, Bill, thanks for coming on. And unfortunately, I think I only have you on these days when people die that are in the sports world. But I appreciate it. I'm bummed that the Packers are not in the second round of the playoffs, but they were up against it last week. And I think the future is bright for the Pack. So we'll see what happens during the draft.
Right. Yep, no doubt. We're kind of optimistic, waiting for next year to be the year. And you hate to say that, but this year was a very, very much a disappointment, no doubt about it.
It happens. All right, Big Unit, good to hook up with you. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. All right, talk to you soon.
Take care. The former commissioner of baseball, Bud Selig, issued a statement today. Bud and Bob were extremely close. Of course, Bud Selig owned the Milwaukee Brewers. He said, "I'm heartbroken with the loss of my dear lifelong friend, Bob Uecker. I can't begin to describe how much he meant to me, let alone what this loss is for Brewers fans, the state of Wisconsin, and countless others worldwide. Bob had the easiest way of making others feel at ease, share a laugh, and always left people feeling a little better. Nobody was his equal." I would agree with that. "I'm so grateful Bob's friendship was a constant presence throughout most of my life over 50 years. Rarely did a day pass where we missed a conversation, a sharing of stories, and countless laughs. This cannot be replaced and is a giant loss, but I'm lucky to have experienced that kind of enduring friendship." You know, I don't know, Sue, I don't remember if the Cardinals did this with Mike and with Jack Buck, but Bob Uecker never had a contract. He worked.
Really?
He just kept, you know, Bud would ask him or Wendy would say, "Bob, you coming back? I'm coming back." Never a contract.
Wow.
Unique. We'll talk more about that during Audio Cut of the Day. Wow. We got Kilmeade coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.